Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family, we go. I'm Sean Carter, but I'm blue. What color is the struggle? Is it the sky? Covered in helicopters, the only option to fly. But instead, I'm stuck in this room, ducking the noon.
You get the youth pastor this morning, so whatever that means, that's what you get. Have you ever had your opinion changed on something? Now, I'm not talking something small, but something very, like, large, like, how much you like something or how much something affects you. I've learned that it's not a simple thing to change an opinion, especially when it's tied to a feeling or to an event or that kind of thing. But this recently happened to me. I was kind of a slow burn on this one. Kind of slowly, and then suddenly it became a reality, and it was a very startling reality. It's about how old I am. Now I'm not talking numerical years, okay, but rather the feeling of being old. You know, the going to bed sore and then waking up sore, because nothing changed, because your body doesn't work the way that it used to. Man, it's terrible. It's terrible. Most people, most of us, I can say this now, over 30, have at some point had a realization, you know the stomach dropping, like gut wrenching, heart stopping sort of, oh, I'm old. Now, I know, I heard some conversation over here. I know that many of you think 30 is not that old, and, you know, that I shouldn't really worry about it. But that's not the problem. The problem is that by association, I am old. I hang out with teenagers a lot. By association, I am old. Now, this didn't happen until recently. I thought I was, you know, the cool youth pastor, didn't have to worry about how old I was. But we were doing a youth event, and I'm sure that one of the youth just wasn't listening, and I was having, you know, issues controlling this youth, and I said something that undoubtedly sounded exactly like my dad. And That feeling is just the beginning of feeling old, when you sound like your parents. As I said this phrase, I was like, oh no. I began to wrestle with this realization of, oh boy, I just said that, didn't I? That I kind of thought about how this unruly teenager would have seen me, a 30-year-old. Not that I don't think that the teenager knew that I was 30, but I'm old. And I thought how he would have seen me, and the only word I can think of is old. It's like only you get to a certain age and you say certain things, and it just becomes that, oh boy, I'm old. You know, you might not think that I'm all that old. And maybe comparatively, I'm not. But this began some mindset changes in my brain. And inevitably, once you hit 30, you get some physical changes as well, like going to bed sore and waking up sore and things just not working the way that they used to. And yeah, it's not fun. Or leading you to the place where you go to the wave pool and your legs and your abs get sore from jumping in the waves and climbing the stairs, trying to keep up with these teenagers. And man, I'm sure that if you talked to any of the youth that went, none of them the next day would have said, man, I was sore, but I did. So as we journey through Ephesians, Paul brings up this idea of a mindset change. There's seemingly a shift in tone of his letter from the point that we're going to jump in at. And while it's not about feeling old or being old, but it's rather about being new. So if you want to follow along, it'll be on the screen as well. But we're going to take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. Paul writes this. He says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." So as Pastor Brad established for us a couple weeks ago, the Gentiles are anyone who is not a Jew. So when you think about who Paul's writing to, that he's writing to the Ephesians, who actually are Gentiles, we have to think about what he's actually saying here rather than just taking it at face value, because what Paul is saying is that there is an old way in which you used to walk and these Gentiles still walk that is no longer acceptable now that you know Christ. He's telling them to not act like those around them who have not been saved, how they used to act. He's establishing for them that when you become a Christian, there is a fundamental mindset change that happens, and we can't act the way that we used to. And then he kind of unpacks it a little more for us in verse 18. He says, "They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." Without specifically breaking down their actions for them, like what exactly they're doing, Paul is saying, listen, now that you guys are Christians, now that you have been saved by Jesus, there are things you can't do anymore. Like Pastor Brad said a couple of weeks ago in our first look in Ephesians, this letter that Paul is writing was an unsolicited letter. So he wasn't responding to something he had heard. He thought, this may be the last message that I get to send to these people that I care very deeply about because I'm in prison. He's heading towards the end of the road for Paul. And so he wanted to write a letter to these people to encourage them, to build them up, and not necessarily because he heard that things were going on in the church like a lot of the other letters he wrote. But we know that Paul spent 2 years in Ephesus teaching the Ephesians about Jesus, and Paul has a really good understanding of what people do. He understands that we are fallen, that we are sinful, because we know that Paul used to be Saul and did terrible, terrible things, and he knew it too. But he knows that there just are things that the humans are prone to do, and that is because of our fallen nature. But because of Paul's relationship with the Ephesians, he has this rapport with them. And in verse 20, he tells them, that's not what I taught you. He says, that's not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, when Paul says, assuming that you've heard about him, Paul knows that they've heard about him because he was the one that taught them about him. So it's a bit of a sly, like, remember, I know you guys, I taught you, remember what we talked about and that you can't do the things that you used to do. He's kind of giving one of those statements that I'm sure will come out of my mouth in the future. Something like, you know better than that, or I taught you better than that, or something along those lines. I mean, I heard that a lot growing up, that, there was things that I did that I knew better than to do, apparently. But Paul here is reminding them of what he taught them about being a Christian, about making sure that your actions line up with that. Sometimes, you know, we just need a good reminder. Oh, I don't have my phone, so that I feel a little naked, but my phone, well, I don't actually need it. It was just an example, but thank you, Carmen. Appreciate it. This, I don't know what I would do without this phone. I would inevitably forget a lot of things. There's a reminder app on here that I use all the time. And Siri is a wonderful thing. You just, hey Siri, I'm gonna need you to remind me that I need to go by the store after work today, or something, or go pick this up, or, oh, she's listening. Huh. Apparently I pressed that button too many times. But if I did not have that to remind me, or, you know, somebody to send me a text message like Justine did this morning to bring her heat gun to church so I could give it back to her, I would forget things all the time. I mean, I leave the house and I don't have my car keys, and I walk out of the house and have to go back and turn around, and then I don't have my sunglasses as I come back out the door, and then I have to go back and grab my sunglasses, and then I come out and I don't have my guitar because I'm going to worship practice, and so I have to go back and come back out. I have a terrible memory, and so I need reminders to help me to remember to do things. And so, you know, it's not good enough to write it down. It's not good enough to say, I'll remember. It won't happen. So to me, it feels a little bit like this part of Paul's letter is a bit of those reminder statements, the reminder app before it was a thing because he sent a letter and that's how it used to be done. So I just want to encourage you this morning, let this be a reminder of the things we know. Let this be an encouragement to walk in the knowledge of what we've been taught, of what we've been, what Christ is doing in us. This is not something new, this is not something groundbreaking, but it's a reminder that Christ is working in us and that there are things that we need to be doing because of that. So Paul goes on to encourage the Ephesians in verse 22, and he says, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So Paul is saying, remember, now that you are Christians, you can't act like you did before in impurity and deceit. He's saying, remember the old way? That's not you anymore. You've been changed. You've been transformed. You have been renewed by God's Spirit. This really makes me think of another place in Paul's writing that he writes something very similar to this. In Romans 12:2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Like my realization that I can't easily do the things that I used to be able to do because of my, you know, advanced age, I have to act differently. I can't do all the same things I used to do as a teenager or that weren't so long ago in my 20s. I can't stay up all night playing video games or watching Star Wars movie marathons and not have it affect me very differently than it used to. I can't act the same way as before. There has been a change. And that's what Paul is saying here. For us, there has been a change in us since we accepted Christ. There has been just a transformation. And he's saying, now live in that. Walk in that. Don't do the things you used to do, because they're not good. They're not what you need to be doing any longer. But do the things that we taught you in Christ. It's a fundamental mindset change. It's a new self. So Paul continues in verse 24, and he says just that. He says, and to put on the new self in verse 24. Just want to pause there for a second. By the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been changed from old to new. We have been brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We have been changed. We have been transformed. And Jesus told us in John 10:10. Did I put that up? I don't remember. No, I didn't. Jesus told us that he came to give us abundant life. In John 10:10, that's what he says. And through his act of love on the cross, he made it possible for us to walk away from sin, to walk away from that old life, is that through his power, we can do that. For me, verse 24, that first part parallels another part of the Bible that Paul wrote, is 2 Corinthians 5:17, when he says, therefore, if anyone is a new creation, or is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So that old life, attached to sin, attached to death, is gone, along with its behaviors, along with its desires. The things that came with that have been destroyed by Jesus on the cross, because of his work in us. So Paul continues his thought in verse 24, and he says, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So through Christ, we have been renewed and restored to what God actually intended for us from the beginning, before the fall of man, before sin came into the world. Adam and Eve literally walked with God in the garden. And that through Jesus' act on the cross, he has made that possible for us again. He may not be physically standing right here, but his spirit is with us. He is always with us. And so now we have this ability to have a daily, moment-by-moment relationship with God. So Paul is showing us that through this mindset and behavior change from old to new, we can see that through what he says in the next verse. He says, you know, you used to be this way, and Christ came, and he changed you. Now make sure to act like it. There's some things you got to do now because of what he has done in you. In the next few verses, Paul begins to unpack a few of the things that would be reflective of that renewing of your mind and putting on the new self that he's encouraging us to pursue here as we take a quick look at what he tells us. He says in verse 25, he says, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. I don't know if you can... It took me a little bit of thinking, so I want to break it down for you. Don't lie. mind blown, right? Don't lie, okay? All right, that's pretty simple in statement, right? A little harder in action. Putting away falsehood, to not lie to people, to not bend the truth, to not do things like that for your own gain, because we are the body of Christ. We are all in this together. We are all one together. And honesty is a reflection of the work that Jesus is doing in us. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's a pretty strong statement, that the truth is Jesus and we want to be like Jesus. Verse 26, he says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." There are things that we have every right to be angry over. There are terrible injustices in this world that even Jesus got angry over what the traders and the merchants were doing in God's temple. There are things that we can get angry over, but there's a line that should not be crossed in that anger, right? Is that he says, be angry and do not sin. In exercising self-control, we can resolve a situation where anger is used, maybe even necessary, without sin when we exercise self-control. Because, like he said there, in giving no opportunity to the devil, anger and bitterness, if we allow it to sit and fester inside of our hearts, that's where the devil gets an opportunity. That's where he gets a foothold, is that when somebody, no matter how wrong or terrible it was, does something that makes you just angry, is Jesus can come and give us a new heart and a new life, and putting off those old things and taking up the new things, is he would encourage us, yeah, okay, you can get angry, but don't hold on to it. Don't let it become sin in your life, because it can quickly turn into a very large downward spiral if you let it. But Jesus can change us. That's our hope, is that he can change us from old to new. Verse 28, he says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." Now, I had to kind of do a little bit of looking up. I was like, how can this, I mean, I don't know, but I don't think many of us regularly steal, at least enough to be called a thief. Can't say for sure, but I don't think that's something that we do. So I had to really think about how does this illustration that Paul's talking about, how can we use that in our lives? And I think what Paul is getting at here is not just the thief and stealing, but it's rather a repentant lifestyle. So it says to no longer steal, but rather let him labor. A repentant being that you're turning entirely the opposite direction from what you were doing, mirroring again this shift from old to new, is that Paul is saying we need to have this repentant lifestyle of saying, yeah, I'm making mistakes here. I'm doing this wrong. This is sin. God, I'm so sorry for what I'm doing. I will turn and do what you've asked me to do or what you've called me to do. I think that, and the latter part of it is obviously, he's talking about being generous with what we have. He says, so that you may have something to share with anyone in need. And if you're stealing to take care of your own needs, you're not going to have enough to share with other people, but rather if you're working hard and doing those things, you can be generous with the people around you. And God has called us to be generous with what we have, because it all comes from Him in the first place. Verse 29, he says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that may give grace to those who hear." Now, I don't know if you noticed what he said there, but it says, "No corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion." Now, you may have heard this when you were younger. I certainly did. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. I feel like this is the biblical justification for that phrase. I feel like this is where my mom went and she saw it and said, "Yeah, this works. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all." Probably referring to something my brothers and I were saying to each other. I'm sure of it. But Paul is encouraging us to build each other up with our words. We learn in the book of James that our tongues are a very powerful tool that can be used for good or for bad. And so Paul is saying, use your words to build people up. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Zach, you look good today. Let what Jesus is doing in your heart and in your life come out in your words. That's the reality of it, is that if Jesus is working in your heart, changing you, making you from old to new, let those things come out. Let that change come out in you and encourage people, build them up. Continues on, he says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." We are to live our lives for Christ. This statement that Paul makes me think back to the first verse of this chapter when he says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Our calling is to live our lives for Christ, in word and in action, to put off the old way of sin and death and to put on the new way of life, forgiveness and grace. May we be a people who actually do this. We actually live differently because of the work that Christ is doing in us. May we actually allow that to come out in our actions and in our words. And maybe some of these areas or others are areas that cause you to stumble, but I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus can change you. He can change me. There's no limit to what He can do in our lives. He is willing, He is waiting, He is able to transform us into who He's called us to be, into a new creation in His likeness. In fact, the Bible tells us that work has already begun in us, and He will carry it to completion. So this morning, I pray that you are encouraged and reminded that Jesus has overcome sin and death, and that we are invited to walk with Him. I am
dust. You are God. Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com. Click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at CS Airdrie on Twitter and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go. I can't die.